Okay, good morning and thank you very much, and thanks the organizer for the invitation. In the last few years I've been doing a lot of work on trying to generalize to non-commutative spaces instanton bundles and connections on these bundles. And there's been a lot of work on these theta deformations or this toric non-commutative geometry. But then I have also been doing a little bit of work on spaces coming from quantum groups. And in fact, this again in two directions. On one end, just try to construct non-commutative spin geometry on these spaces, and in particular on the spaces of quantum SU2 and associated spheres. And also to have been constructing some bundles which generalize the instanton SU2 bundle over the ordinary sphere or if you want an R-fork with suitable compactification. There is still a lot of work to do, of course, and several things are not clear yet, but on the other hand, there is an interesting, at least, mathematics and promising new directions. Now, I will present a few examples, and the examples that I'll present are very special, and in fact, still an elaborate strategy is needed to do it in some more general context. But still, I think these two examples are interesting. And one example is really coming from a symplectic quantum first sphere. And this means that there is a symmetry for a quantum SPQ2. And also, on this sphere, there is an example of a quantum principal bundle. I think this is one of the first examples, if not the first, and maybe even the unique quantum principal bundle with quantum structure group, with SU2 as a structure group. This is probably really the unique example and of this phenomenon. There are other bundles, but they are more complicated, more general in a sense. They are only coalgebra bundles, so they are a little bit more general. The one that I will present is really a true principal bundle. These structures are also known as Hopf-Galois extensions. And there has been a lot of work in this area by Majid and his co-workers, which I will mention later on.
Jenny, the principal bundle is over that space?
Or yes, it's over. So it's really a generalization of the second Hopf vibration, S7 over S4 with SU2, and now there is A of S4Q into some A of S7Q with some A of SUQ2. In the sense that there is a coaction, and then this is made of coinvariance. The second example is also interesting for a reason which I'll tell in a moment, and this is an orthogonal quantum first sphere. Now there is symmetry under SOQ5, and at the moment I do not have a principal bundle, and I'm not even sure that it exists. In fact, it's not clear that one can construct these kind of bundles, but nonetheless, for gauge theory, this is not necessary, although it's useful. It's quite useful to have a principal bundle for several reasons, but you don't need it. One of the interests of this orthogonal quantum first sphere is that it is the basis of some work which is almost finished, and which now I'm not sure I will be able to report on this, but let me just flash it here. And this is another example of an isospectral, even spectral triple. I mean, this is also on this quantum first sphere, there is an isospectral, even spectral triple, meaning that essentially the Dirac operator is the classical spectrum, and one constructs all the ingredients of a spectral triple, so the algebra, the Dirac operator, and the Hilbert space. And it's again up to infinitesimal. This means that two of the conditions, the commutant condition and the first order condition, are not satisfied fully, let's say, as in the first version, only up to infinitesimals. And this is, seems to be a phenomenon which is really common to all these examples in quantum group. So this is a paper which, this is some work which is almost finished, which I'm doing with Francesco D'Andrea and Ludwig Dabrowski. I will say something about this triple at the end, because then I want to use, I mean, maybe some future work, I want to use this triple to construct quantum field theories, instantonic quantum field theories, I mean, a la Cohn-Chemsedin, I mean, some spectral action involving this Dirac operator and this instantonic bundles that I'm. I don't have anything to say about this. I mean, this is really some future work which I'm planning to do. Part of the work that I'm telling, and at least in the first part, is based on a paper which I wrote with Chiara Pagani, who is in the audience, and Cesare Reina in Trieste. Okay. So let me then briefly tell you what is it with some. The starting point is that these are these symbiotic groups, SPQN, and so the algebra, the Hopf algebra, is generated by the matrix element of a matrix which satisfy PTR conditions, and then it comes with an R matrix which is associated to one of the, I mean, the C series in this Fedir-Schrödinger-Taktagian paper. And these groups have subalgebra, which are also commodule subalgebra, which in fact are example of this general construction of quantum homogeneous spaces of Brzezinski and Majid. So these are principal bundle. So in some sense, these are principal bundle with some the suitable structure group. And here is the example. I mean, this is the top. I mean, not yet down here. This is the top space. That, for instance, in n equal 2, then AS7Q is the quantum version of the homogeneous space SP2, SP1. Let me. And then in the sense that there is the injection of this algebra into SPQ2 is a quantum principal bundle with structure group SPQ. I mean, this is the previous level. I mean, somewhere which lives up here. So this is a quantum homogeneous space. After the work of Shan and co-workers, everything is clear in that. So there is not much more to say. But what is not clear at all is that construct the other fibration. And the other fibration is not a quantum homogeneous structure at all. So it's not clear it exists, in fact. It took us a lot of time to work out this structure. So S7Q is now the total space of a quantum SUQ2 principal bundle over a quantum force field. And how is it constructed? It is constructed really deconstructing a projector. It's deconstructing a projector in the sense that somehow we construct some kind of fundamental co-representation of quantum SU2 and takes a basis for the co-equivariant maps and then construct a projection which is automatically somehow a projector over the base. And in fact, this projector generates the base, in the sense that the elements of AS4Q, the generators of AS4Q, are the elements of this projection. And the condition that P squared is equal to P and P star is equal to P gives a set of relations which define this algebra. And in fact, as I said, I mean, it was not easy to do that. There are some naive choices which they do not work. But then there is essentially a twisted V, which I'll tell you in a moment what it is, which gives exactly the right number of generators and in a manner that the algebra which it deforms a polynomial algebra of NS4. And quite surprisingly, actually, this was completely unexpected. I mean, there is a natural coaction of SUQ2 on S7Q in such a manner that the algebra is just made of covariant. this was really sheer luck. I mean, in the sense that we came out with this P, and then the P was really, and then it turns out that this is unique. And then to realize that there was also a natural coaction of SUQ2 was really a gift, in a sense. It was totally non-accurate. And this is non-trivial, in a way which I'll tell you in a moment why it is non-trivial. Oh my God. Okay, so just to give you a little bit more detail, I mean, the formula that I'm... So the generators satisfy... So they build up a matrix, and they satisfy these relations here, RTT is equal to TTR. And the relevant R, as I said, is the one that comes from the CN series. I mean, this is the structure of the R matrix that you can read in Fedier-Frechedegen and Takhtajan. There are some numbers here, some constant. I will not say what is it. But so one starts with this algebra. And there is also, this is a symplectic group in the sense that there is a symplectic structure. There is a symplectic matrix, and then you impose some additional condition on the generators. Well, this is a, I mean, there is a natural OPF algebra structure, so there is the co-multiplication, the co-unit, and the antipod. The antipod is done using C. And I can also take the compact real form by giving some natural involution in terms of the antipod. Okay, so this is already in, essentially is already in Fedier-Frechedegen and Takhtajan. In particular, then, as I was already saying, that you can build up spheres by taking one column, and then as the generators, and then you take this V, which are the bar of these generators, and they, I mean, you have a sphere because you have these spheric relations here, which tell you that the sum over I xi bar xi is equal to 1. And there is, of course, a natural left coaction of SPQ on these spheres in such a manner that you have really a comodule algebra structure. In particular...
Can you use the other projector?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, so that, in fact, that's a good... Well, yeah, okay. Sure. Okay. In particular, I mean, just to have you, to flash you, this is the 7-4 sphere. So there are generators x1, x2, x3, and x4. And they're conjugate, and then there is a set of relations that you get out of this. It somehow is a simple object, but there are some cross terms which create a lot of trouble. I mean, there are some cross terms in these two equations here which creates a lot of trouble. I'll leave this. Yeah. Okay. So it's easy to construct AES7Q as a total space of a principal bundle. So you identify an OPF ideal in SPQ2. And in fact, this OPF ideal really produce an OPF algebra which is isomorphic to SUQ2. And this, then there is this coaction on A. There is this coaction of SPQ2, so that AS7Q is the algebra of covariant. So here it is. So you have this SPQ2, and then there is the decoaction of SPQ1, and then the quotient is really S7Q. And as I said, this is an example of this construction by Shan and others. And what you do... what you do, this is an example of a quantum principal bundle over a quantum homogeneous spaces, and you have an Hopf quotient from AG into AK, and then you reduce, there is a coproduct of AK on AG given by the reduced coproduct, and then the co-invariant is really a quantum homogeneous space, as I said. And all the structures that I'm giving up to now are examples of this construction. Now, the fundamental step is really to make X7Q itself in the total space of a principal bundle. And as I said, this is not an homogeneous space construction at all. And the way we did is the following. The way we did is the following. Okay, let me maybe before I do that, let me just flash the definition of a principal bundle. Then. I mean, maybe so that you have an idea of what is going on. This again is good of some work of Shan with coworkers, and so you have here an Hopf algebra. P is a right H comodule with multiplication N, and there is a coaction of H on P. You construct the coinvariants. So the coinvariants are the elements in P for which delta R of P is equal to P tensor 1. Delta R is the coaction of H. And then the B into P is an Hopf Galois extension if the following map is bijective. So this object is called the canonical map. And so it's a map which goes from P tensor P into P tensor H. And this, this is the... So you have two elements, and then this is the image of this map. And you say that this is an Hopf Galois extension if this map is bijective. Now, there is a lot of technicalities here, so which I'm not want to say, but it turns out that, in fact, this is not... You need a little bit more than that, but in all our examples... Since the structure group is has nice property, in fact, it's co-semi-symbol and they have invertible antipode, there are additional nice property which are automatically satisfied. Now, instead of telling you in general this, I will show them in the example. Okay, so this is the basic starting. The crucial thing is to prove that this map is bijective. And essentially this map really gives you an action of a group which is free and transitive over the fiber. But you need a little bit more, and this little bit more is actually, essentially is free for this example that I will present. And so in fact, as I said, instead of doing it in general, let me... do it in the particular example. Okay, so how do we construct this bundle? How do we construct this bundle? And the bundle is constructed in such a manner. Start with the three modules over S7Q with an Hermitian, the natural Hermitian structure. And then to any element in the module, you associate an element in the dual module using the Hermitian structure. This is really quite standard. And look for two elements, phi 1 and phi 2, in this free module in such a manner that these conditions are satisfied. Okay? Well, if these two conditions are satisfied, then this object is a projector. So it's clear, right? Of course, there is a lot of other things to say, but this is the object that we will look, and we will look for a couple of elements, phi 1 and phi 2, in such a manner that the element of Pij generates an algebra. Generates an algebra which is a deformation of the algebra of polynomial function on S4, and so that we can at least for the time being, call an algebra of a quantum force field. It is not at all clear how to construct these, and is actually, as I said, there are some naive choices which gives you extra generators. This is in fact one of the problems. There are extra generators which you construct out of these constructions, which will vanish in the classical limit. So one has to really to be careful about the choice. Well, after a lot of work, and after a Christmas vacation, Chiara came up with this. Chiara went to vacation in the north of Italy to visit his her family, and she came up with this choice. I guess this must be some kind of okay. That she came up with this choice, and this object, as I said, I have put them into a matrix. And this matrix satisfies V star V is equal to 1. So, as I said, P is equal to V star is a projection. This projector is a very nice one. And the structure of these projectors is the following.
Leave it.
Right, yeah, sorry. So, I'm not used to this. Okay. But this actually, in fact, in the paper, we also make some comment about other possible choices, but they are not good at all. And later on, you realize that essentially this choice is some unique nice in it. With that choice, this is the structure of the projector. It seems really easy now, but to get this zero, to get this zero was really tough. We will get something different from zero here, something that in the limit would vanish. So this will give too many generators. So to get this zero was really the tough part. Anyhow, this is the P. This is the projections. Then you can write the generators T, A, and there should be a B here also. Okay. There should be some space here. Yeah.
What is the rationale for the Q minus 3? You mean because in the projector you only have even power.
What is the rationale for Q minus 3?
No, for in the vectors. In the vectors you have Q minus 3.
Because if you square them, you get Q to the minus 6, Q to the minus 2, Q to the minus 1. And this is one of the two spheres relation in S7.
Yeah, but in the projectors they disappear. You only have even power.
Yeah. But, I had somewhere the seven sphere. Okay, I had somewhere. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I don't have the... if you write the spheres relations, then you get even powers of Qs. So this is somehow the deconstruction of that, breaking that sphere relation into pieces. Yeah. Okay. Then, these are the generator in terms of the X, which lives on S7, and it's very easy now to get the commutation relation of this P. You just take that P squared is equal to P, and the fact that P star is equal to P essentially says that A bar is A bar and B bar is P bar, if you allow me to do that. I mean, says that this is the conjugate of this and this is the conjugate of that.
I mean, these relations are fulfilled in the algebra, in the big algebra.
Yes. And there are other... these are the relations that you find. These are the relations that you find, that in particular you find, none of the generator is central. And you have some sphere relations. Okay? Well, at this point, actually, it's not much. You have just an algebra, which deforms the the function over S4, okay. But as I say, there is much, much more. And the next thing is that there is a coaction.
But Jenny, just from the relations, do you know like the growth of the algebra? Do you know that that's like the right dimension?
You mean if
look at these relations.
When I work out the co-invariance, I can give you a vector space basis in terms of these generators, and then because when I have to work out the co-invariance under and to show that this algebra is really made of all the co-invariants and there are none others, I have to break this algebra in vector subspaces of fixed degree. So I do exactly. So as I said, up to now it's not much. There are a few generators with relations. So, but so the decomposition, the vector space decomposition, is like the classical one, essentially. The crucial thing is this: and there is a QSUQ2 coaction, and this is really coming from the fact that the projection, these two elements here, or if you want the V, the projection is such in such a manner that the element, the first two elements of this V and the second two elements, they are really some kind of quantum planes. So written like that, is absolutely clear what must be the coaction. So here it is then, SUQ2 is alpha and gamma are the generators. There are a commutation relation which tells you that in fact this is the manifold of quantum SU2 is a trisphere. And there is a op algebra structure which is like the one that I was giving before. I mean delta, let's call it U, delta U is equal to U tensor U, and then the rest of the structure is okay. So this is quantum SU2, and the coaction is simply written in terms of V. So delta R of V on this vector is simply the multiplication with this matrix here. And it is written in such a manner that now the elements of the projections are automatically co-invariants. I mean, the way it is written, the fact that this matrix is unitary tells you that projections are automatically co-invariant. And in fact, you can prove that, first of all, you can extend the coaction to the entire AS7Q, and the coaction then delta R is a right coaction on the of the quantum group SUQ2 on the 7 sphere, and AS4Q is the algebra of coinvariance. These are coinvariance by constructions, and there are no other coinvariants. Of course, to show that there are no other coinvariants takes some work, and it's exactly this decomposition of the algebra in the as a vector space in a basis, but you can do that.
Wait, don't go too fast, Jenny. So you have these generators A bar, B bar, and T.
Yes. Huh?
But so when you say you decompose into vector spaces, you mean
you just take suitable power. You give this lemma, this snake lemma, and what is you can order A bar and B bar and T with some power. And use the snake lemma to prove that essentially is you don't have any.
In doing that, you must control the growth of the algebra.
Yes, and it's
like a force field.
It's exactly like the S4. Yeah, I say that. I said that this is the structure of the, as a vector space is exactly S4. Okay, so you have this nice principal bundle structure. Well, actually, I have not proved yet that this is a principal bundle. For the moment, I have only proved that I have a coaction and the element downstairs are co-invariant. I have not proved yet that this is a principal bundle, which I'll tell you in a moment. Okay. But I'll postpone that for a moment because I want to give some additional property of these spheres. I want to tell you what is this sphere also from a continuous point of view. So the things to do is to study representations. And this algebra has only two representations. There is a trivial representation, which I call the beta representation, just for future reference. Everything is set to zero, T, A, and B. T is not the radius, so don't be scared that I send T equal to zero. And, of course, beta of 1 is equal to 1. So this is the unique classical point. This spheres from, in fact, from a continuous point of view, this is one point, and then it is something that you have to... In fact, actually, it is two points. It is really one point and then a phase point, because this is compact plus lambda, and this is lambda. Somehow, you have operator-valued functions on these things, and then there is a point on which you assign a complex number, and then the other one to which you assign a compact operator. And in fact, these are not, this is not really two points. I mean, this, the other one is a little bit fuzzy. And at the level of the representation is the fact that you have this bigger representation, which is the trivial one, and then you have some infinite dimensional representation that you can write it explicitly. And in fact, in this representation, all the generators are trace class, a fact which I'll use in a moment to briefly describe the K-homology. So in particular, I will need the trace of the generator T, which we work out to be this number here. And so, as I said, from the sister algebra point of view, this object is nothing but the compact operator plus C. So this structure here. Now, one can use all these these two representations to study the K-homology. So I'll briefly do it. And this is also to show that the principal bundle that I'll construct is not trivial. So I want to really now to prove, essentially, among other things, that the class of the projection is not trivial. And I also want to compute a number, which I will, a la physicist, I will call it the instanton number. Although it's a little bit... in fact, actually, maybe I should say something. I'll tell it later. Okay, so let's go slowly. So the index pairing. So the defining projector is really a class in the K theory. And then we want to pair it with a class of non-trivial Fredholm models. And in fact, it turns out that to be much easier to construct shared characters in the cyclic homology and cohomology pair the Chern character. So, I mean, this is, of course, Alain Cohn has told us how to do it in since many years now. And for this projection, it's really everything lives in dimension zero. So it is enough to consider CH0, the homology at the level zero, and from the dual point of view to take a suitable trace on the projection. And but then these are straightforward to construct. So in fact, first of all, you take the first component of the Chern character of P, and this is just the trace of P, and you get something quite interesting. You get a number, then you get something which is the generator T. in this shared character, there is both the rank of the bundle and the instanton number, if you allow me to use this, this word. The rank will come from this number here, and the instanton number will come from this object here. So out of this complicated object, which in the limit vanishes, one gets minus one, in fact, in a way which I'll show you in a moment, which is, in fact, it's very easy at the end. And for this, I will need the trace of T. That's why I showed you the trace of T somewhere. Okay, I showed it somewhere, the trace of T. Maybe I'll show it again later. Anyhow, so, but it's nice that in there is both the rank and the degree of the bundle, I should call it. Okay, so first of all, I will construct a non-trivial Fredholm module. So the Fredholm module is now a triple. So it's the Hilbert space, is a representation, is a gradient. In fact, that's all you need. So the Hilbert space is simply the sum of twice this H sigma, which I wrote before. The representation is the direct sum of sigma and beta, where I have to extend beta to H of sigma. The grading operator is this simple grading operator, plus and minus on the two. And and then you work out the corresponding Chern character, which is, as I said, it's a trace. And you, in fact, it is written in such a manner that sigma x minus beta x is always trace class. So it's really a very simple computation at the end of the day. Now, if you do the pairing, you get this number here, but then there is the trace of T.
You mean it saves the day, because so it doesn't look like an integer.
Of course, yes. And the trace of T is exactly this piece here, which I wrote. The trace of P is this object here, which exactly match the object in front, and so you get minus one. Okay? And so in particular, this shows also that this module, PAS for Q4, is not free. Now, this is a module of sections. And this module of section, why I call it instanton? Of course, an instanton is much more. It's also a connection, so it's a dual connection. So there is much more. But when Q is equal to 1, this is really a rank 2 vector bundle over S4, on which there are these self-dual connections which were written already in 75.
Don't you have the Grassmannian connection somehow? Because you have
But when you need a calculus. Yeah. You have a Grassmannian connection, of course, but you need a calculus. In fact, you have this E, but you can do a lot. You can do many things, but there is still a lot of things to do. So you take for E, this P, AQ, AQ, AS for Q to the 4, and then the connection, of course, is E into E tensor omega 1 of S for Q, and the Grassmann connection is the connection. But then you need these two ingredients. You have to specify this. Of course, you can do it with respect to the universal calculus. And so you get some information out of the universal calculus. But one of the nice things here is that, in fact, it was pointed out by the referee, is that since the bundle is an optical extension, there is room for non-universal calculus. So I don't have it yet, this construction, but there is room for non-universal calculus. And this, there is a little bit of work in progress, but again, I don't. So, but this is actually, this comes from the fact that, which I have not shown you yet, that this is really an optical extension. Okay, let me also briefly tell you how to get the maybe the rank. You can essentially, you see, you can also, you have a trivial class in the K-homology, and you essentially, actually classically, the trivial generator is given by the injecting any point into a sphere, and then take the image in the K-homology. Well, I mean, we have a point. We have one point, so we use that classical point to construct also a trivial class. And this, sorry, it's a little bit quick because I want to show you more. But then you work out this trivial homology class, and you take for the trace on the algebra exactly the representation. And then now, this tau will vanish on all the generators but one. And this is exactly the object that
this
gives you.
This was by construction, because you had to.
By construction, it's really absolutely by construction. So it's I just want to show that in this projection, there are both. Okay. Now let me briefly tell you this. Of Galois extension business. So here I repeat the definition which I gave you to before. As I said, the result of Schneider says that essentially if the group is co-semisimple by Jeffy antipode, in particular you have that the surjectivity of the canonical map implies bijectivity and some other property, let me not comment, but then also, so in order to prove that the canonical map is bijective, you only need to prove that it's surjective, and also, to prove that it's surjective, you only need to prove that the generators of H are in the image of the canonical map. So this is a very powerful result, because you don't need too much. So the chi is surjective if whenever for all any generators of H, in our case is quantum SU2, then the elements 1 plus H is in its image. Here it is. This phi 1 and phi 2, which were constructed, are really the nice object. Everything is there. So you use now, use them to construct this tensor-valued scalar product. So psi 1, psi 2, this is this object here where you just put the tensor product, and you prove that these objects, which are in P tensor, which are in P tensor VP, where P is S7Q, and B is S4Q.
In fact, you are in M2 of this.
No, because if I take... No, when I, after that, I have something which is in B, in P tensor or P.
I agree, but you have a 2x2 matrix.
Oh, yes, yes. Which is... you see, I have to match...
It's the same 2x2 matrix.
Yeah, I have to match... Yeah, okay. All these elements here are in this P tensor P, and then I cook up a 2x2 matrix which whose image is exactly this. This proves that it's an optical extension. So very at the end of the day, you just prove something very simple, and you get.
What if you start to take this as a to define the phi 1 phi 2?
Maybe. Maybe this may help. Although it's, oh yeah, you can look for some. Yeah, this could be a strategy. Yes. Okay. Let me. There is really much more. And in particular, these phi 1 and phi 2 are a basis for coequivariant maps. So here you have the notion of the dual notion of an equivariant map, you have a coequivariant map. So With an optical extension, you fix a co-representation of your H, the structure algebra. Then you can construct an equivariant map is something which dualizes the notion of being equivariant. The equivariance will be just some, for a principal band, will be something which from P goes into the vector space of the representation, and you have that phi of, let's say, P tensor G is equal to rho to the minus 1 phi of P, where rho is the representation of the structure group. So you just dualize that condition. And, the module of sections. So if you take now the fundamental co-representation of SUQ2 on C2, then you take the corresponding co-equivariant map, then these equivariant maps and the module which you construct out of P, they are isomorphic as right module. And also, I mean, the bundle, the principal bundle is not trivial, and this is very easy to prove. I mean, if it were trivial, all the associate bundle will be trivial, but you know that this bundle is not trivial, so the principal bundle cannot be trivial. So I showed you that the class of P is not trivial, so this bundle PAS4Q cannot be free, cannot be trivial, so the principal bundle is not trivial. Okay, as I said, there is a lot of stuff to do here, and in particular to work out theory of connections, and in particular with a non-universal calculus. This is something which I cannot say much at the moment. But it's really promising that one can now construct gauge theories on these instantons bundles. In the last 10 minutes, I want to briefly tell you this other sphere. And in fact, I cannot say much, so I will skip something. And then I will just somehow give you the definition. And the definition is this. Well, maybe okay. Sorry. So let me just first give you what is now this other sphere. I mean, it seems to come from nowhere, but I'll tell you in a moment from where it comes. So now this is now a completely different object, like before. And as I said, it seems to come from nowhere, but it does not come from nowhere. So the computational relations are now. This commutation relation, these are actually the analog of A, B, and T. You have you have five generators, X1, X2, X1 star, X2 star, and X0. And they obey these relations here. And by construction, this sphere have an action of UQ of SO5. And in fact, this is a way. A way to define this sphere is really by taking it to be the fundamental vectorial representation of UQ of SO5. This one of the way to show that this sphere is different from the previous one is that this sphere is an S1 worth of classical points. The other one was a point and nothing else in a sense, but here now there is an equator worth of classical points. So this is really different.
You can give the sister algebra.
Huh?
You can describe the sister algebra.
Yeah, you can describe the sister algebra. This is a compact operator tensor.
S1.
C of S1. Okay, compact operator.
It cannot be because this is not unitary. You have to add a copy of.
Yes.
Compact plus scalar.
Oh, yes, compact. Yeah, right. Okay, but there is C of S1, but anyhow, I mean, the representation theory of these things are well known. It was due to other people one way to construct it is really to start somehow from the symmetry. And the symmetry which is relevant is the rotation, the SO5. Instead of giving a coaction, it's easier somehow to give the action. So this is UQ of SO5. This is the quantum universal algebra which generalizes the Lie algebra of SO5. So there are some generators, some relations in this Chevalier basis. There are some other Serre relations I don't want to say. And, well, there is also a coalgebra structure. And you can construct the sphere starting from the vectorial representation of UQ of SO5. Okay? So this is, in fact, I should flash this one first. There are there is some work by Chakra Bharti which completely described the representation of this algebra. There are representations which are labeled by two numbers, and there is a class of representation which is a vectorial representation and a class of representation which is planarial representation. I'll use this representation also to tell you about the spectral triple in a moment. But as I said, you can construct the sphere out of the basis of the fundamental vectorial representations modulo some relations, exactly like you do in the classical situation. So you have in fact you have a nice identification, and then you can really construct it. Let me not tell you more about that, but there is a very standard construction. What is somehow new is that, you see, this idea of having an algebra as the entries of a projection is a very nice one, because at the same time it gives you the algebra and gives you a bundle. Okay. The defining relation of the algebra AS for Q are equivalent to the fact that this matrix is a projection. So P star is equal to P and P square is equal to P. So again, you have a projection and you have a canonical bundle.
No, the projection is sort of linear in the generator.
Yes. It's very nice, in fact. So you have a canonical bundle again, and so you can start. You can start again. I mean, you have sections and so on. In fact, you can also prove that this bundle is not trivial. You can construct the K-homology of the algebra. You can do all that. At the moment, as I said, I do not have a principal bundle structure for this sphere. In fact, I'm not even sure that it is really crucial, because you can do a lot without this principal bundle structure. But I do have something else. I have the geometry of these spheres. So S for Q, this orthogonal one with the canonical projections, and which again, when Q is equal to 1, this is will describe a complex rank 2 vector bundle on which self-dual connection lives. Now, in the last 5 minutes, I will want to show you a little bit of the sphere, or a little bit of the geometry of this sphere. And this is it again. So the orthogonal sphere is an isospectral even spectral triple, which is real up to infinitesimal. Almost finished. And again, it's crucial, the representation theory of UQ of SU2. So I start again, and actually this work of Chakrabarty is very, very useful. I mean, he has a complete, is a complete construction of all the representation. In fact, this is what really is lacking in other examples. The fact that we don't have explicit representation. If we had explicit representation, then we could construct, I think, zillions of other spectral triples. Anyhow, the representation, there are some spinorial representation and vectorial representation. Then the first thing to construct is an equivariant representation of the sphere. So A of S for Q construct equivariant representation. Equivariance here is with respect to the action of UQ of SO5. So it essentially means that you are constructing the representation of the cross product algebra function over the sphere and the symmetry, where the relations in this cross product are given by this, in the sense H A is equal to H1 on A, H2, where H1 and H2 are here, I'm using these Swidler notations. So that if you write the co-product from H into H, tensor H, and H here is UQ of S of 5, then you write delta of H to be H1 tensor H2. And I mean, there is an implicit sum assumed. So the first result is that you have the left regular representation, which is made up of all this VL, where L is an integer. So all these vectorial representation, and there are two spin representations, H plus and H minus, which are really made out of this other of this spinorial representation. And in fact, H plus and minus are projective modules with the P, in the sense they are the closure of A. I mean, okay, A of so P on four copies of A, and 1 minus P on four copies of A. Okay? And then I should... the first thing is to write the sign, or if you want to prove that all the structure is not trivial. So if you take H plus and H minus, there is a natural grading. Take the natural sign, there the data AS4 HF gamma is a non-trivial Fredholm modulus. And in particular, you get, actually you get minus one here. Minus one, okay? Where P is the idempotent that... So this in particular shows that all the structure is not trivial. Then take the following Dirac operator. Take the following operator, D, which is the classical spectrum, L plus 3 over 2, and then A H D gamma is a regular equivalent 4 plus sum of all even spectral triple. And this is non-trivial K homology, homology class by the previous proposition. And it's isospectral to the classical Dirac operator because the spectrum when Q is equal to 1. Then.
I mean, how much freedom do you have if you have equivariance? I mean,
essentially, it's, if you want the equivariance, and essentially it's unique. It's essentially unique. You can also, we don't have a full understanding of the spectrum. We have been able to capture only 3 and 4. So the dimensional spectrum of sigma satisfy when you When you take S, the real part of S to be greater than 2 is 3 and 4.
So this means you cannot get to gravity, because gravity is in dimension 2, so you should get the dimension spectrum in dimension 2.
Well, for the moment we are unable to get 1 and 2. Maybe we are just...
But there might be some surprise. There might be some Q, you know.
Okay.
At 2, why not?
This is what we are up here to now. And also the top residues coincide with the integral of the integral S1 of this of the representation of the classical points. So the sigma of A was this one dimensional representations. The one dimensional representation. Okay? And the last transparencies is, no, well, actually not the last, but you allow me two extra minutes now. Really, two, not more than 2 minutes. Well, then you construct a J, which is really, okay, you take this J is the anti-unitary part of an equivariant antilinear operator T. Equivariance here means that there is this, it is implemented via the antipod. Then this J is, J squared is equal to minus 1, J gamma is equal to gamma. So this is KO dimension 4. So it's all the nice property of a four-dimensional geometry. And my last transparency is that if gamma is J is like above, then A, J, B, J is in I. Well, there is a star here missing. And D, A, J, B, J is in I, where I is this two-sided ideal of operators.
It's a mistake. It's not D minus P. It's D to the P.
Oh, yes. There are a few misprints in this page. Okay. And my very last transparency is this. Thank you very much.
Any questions, comments?
Let me ask a question.
Yes.
Probably not about your work, about more general stuff. So the usually principal bundles in topology, they are rigid. So they don't have infinitesimal deformations. What's about rigidity in your setting?
Probably we have a similar stand, but I really don't know. We have only one example of a principal bundle. What do you mean, rigid, and then what?
Infinitesimally.
I don't know yet. I don't know.
In fact, there is a related question to what Albert is saying. Because after all, if you had the op vibration in the ordinary case, the op vibration is very non-trivial at the homotopy level.
Yes.
And it would be nice to know a similar statement in this situation.
Okay.
In the sense that, you know, the homotopy class of the map is non-trivial. And we'd like to know if the homotopy class of the homomorphism of algebra...
The homotopy class of the projections?
Yeah. No, what I mean is that normally, you know, what you get is you get pi 7 over S4.
Yes.
Which is non-trivial. That is a very, very strong statement.
Yes.
It means that you cannot make it trivial by any type of information. But we can formulate this in Zipf algebra terms.
Okay.
Because after all, in Zipf algebra terms, what we have a morphism of algebra which goes the other way, and we can ask whether this is homotopically trivial.
Okay.
And I mean, the invariant is not at all a simple invariant because it has nothing to do just with Chern and so on. It's much more.
Okay.
So that's you know, since you have the vibration,
all this, I mean,
the analog of the off vibration.
At the moment, I cannot say anything on this.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So there are so the only thing I can say, there is a lot of interesting questions that one can ask and problems that one can address.
Sure. Any questions? You've got a principal bundle from SP2 to F7, and one from S7 to S4.
The first one, it was actually done by Shan, in the sense that it's a quantum homogeneous space. It's not. It was just a way to show the difference between the two.
So I'm wondering if you can put those together to have a hop algebra which would coax, so you have a principal bundle filling in the.
It's not clear. It's not clear because you can do that. Because, in fact, this is actually the origin of the trouble, because classically, SU2 cross SU2 sits diagonally in spin 5. Classically, it's very easy. It's spin 5 over spin 4, and so spin 4 is SU2 cross SU2. So you go from spin 5, you mod one of SU2, you go to S7, you mod the other SU2 and go to S4. So you put SU2 cross SU2 in one, is far by, I don't think this is the case here. And in fact, it was the origin of the trouble, in the sense that now it does not, there is nothing analog which sits diagonally or in any other things there. So we really need to do it in two steps. We really need to do it in two steps, two separate steps.
I just had a quick question for my own elucidation. For the first vibration,
yes.
I mean, I know there are very nice connections on S7, right? With this
you mean that the first connection means...
Yeah. So the canonical connection, if you were to find the non-universal calculus,
yes.
You have to find and compute the connection on S7 to start with. And I seem to remember this has very nice properties, but I don't remember exactly what's interesting about it, but how is it related to Riemannian geometry of S7, for example?
I guess, I don't know really at the moment.
There are some theorems about...
Okay, there are some theorems about the...
The
spheres,
and it's related
okay.
to that.
Again, this is another question in the list of things that one should do.
Other questions, comments? Let's thank our speaker.